Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 458. Science Faction, my worst nightmare come true.
Your wife finds out about your Dr. Troy shrine. She walks in and finds one of you two on your science retreats in the mountains, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Your son walks in.
Now, Damien, you're jumping the gun a little bit on this, too, because as we're going to talk about when we get to our first article, it is not only one of my worst fears, but, and by the way, this was one of the clues. You could tell for the second you meet Dr. Troy, he's a smart dude. But when he admitted that he has also had a lifelong fear of the same thing I have a lifelong fear of, I knew he was a fucking genius.
Testicular torsion. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, well, actually, we did talk a little bit about testicular torsion, which again, fucking genius, because he's worried about the right things.
Traps. Loves traps.
Well, I mean, listen, if you're not actively avoiding traps, you're actively going into traps, if you ask me.
You would love Dungeons and Dragons so much. Just give it a chance, man. Like, traps don't exist in real life, but in Dungeons and Dragons, there are traps for days.
Traps don't exist in real life? Oh, you sweet summer child.
As all of a sudden, the floor underneath my chair, kudos to you for digging it all the way from your home, falls under,
yes.
And I land on a tiger trap with spikes covered in feces. Why the feces? You won!
To cause infection, Damien. To cause infection.
Well, I'm not going to a hospital to get COVID. I'll just stay here.
And speaking of feces-coated spikes, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damien Mercado. Damien, how are you doing this afternoon?
Feces-covered spikes sounds like a German porn category. Like it something like when you go to Pornhub in Deutsch, there's that category.
There's big boobs, there's chubby women, and then there's feces-covered spikes.
And then feces-covered boobs, feces-covered, you know, huge throbbing cock.
Oh, dear. By the way, quick update. I am pretty near back to good all the way, so I'm excited about putting out more episodes on the regular and getting everything out on time. I'm tubeless. I'm a human being. I'm walking around like a real person, going back to the work and the whole nine yards. So hopefully all this is behind me, and now we can just get back to being science nerds.
I think the fans have kind of enjoyed you injured. I mean, and I know that you, as somebody who has Munchausen's disease, has enjoyed the attention.
That's it, yes.
What other surgeries, what can we do to impact your colon? What can we do to obstruct your small intestine?
Dude, you know what I realized? There's a weird thing when you have an injury that's like genital related, where like it's bad. Like if you just break your leg and you went to the hospital, you're gonna have a ton of questions about like, why are you limping? What's going on? How about that broken leg? How did that happen? But when it's a dick injury, there's this extra layer of weirdness about talking about it and like and all the weird things that happen. Like it's hard to tell the story of how painful erections can be when you have a urethral catheter when there's like an 8 and a 10-year-old in the room, you know, like whereas if you were to tell the story of how much it hurts because the cast pinches your leg, it would be fine and nobody would look at you weird. But when you start talking about the fact that getting an erection with a catheter in essentially means getting your foreskin eaten up by your urethra like some kind of crazed Star Wars death worm in the sand, people start looking at you weird.
Well, it's your fault for not getting circumcised as a child. I warned you this would happen. Your mother warned you this would happen.
That is both my choice and my fault.
You see, you could have had a fun lie, like as you're walking around with the lamp, like, oh, what's wrong with your dick? I was having sex with a gymnast. She tried to backflip into reverse cowgirl. And, you know, it paints itself. This is what happened.
What's wrong with your dick? You ever done that thing where you put your dick through a chain link fence with like angry pit bulls on the other side? And they're like, no, why?
Have you ever wondered what would happen if you could, if you really tried to tie your penis in a knot?
Have you ever duct taped razor blades to your penis and then make it fight other penises in like a literal cockfight?
Have you ever tried fucking a badger hole?
And by the way, guys, I will be back to hosting Nerd Night this coming Tuesday, July 7th. So go ahead and shoot Science Faction's Facebook page a little note if you want to be added to that. Some of you guys already did send me emails for our June's Nerd Night that I wasn't able to do. I will make sure to get you guys on the list. But if you did not do that, go ahead and send me an email letting me know, either on our Facebook page, or you can direct email roberttimothycomedy@gmail.com and let me know you want to get a link to that, and I'll send it out. Again, we tend to keep that within the borders of San Diego County, but I'm making a special exemption for Science Faction fans. So if you want to tune in to San Diego's Nerd Night a little bit later this week, go ahead and let me know and I'll add you to that list. But for now, let's move right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
All right, article number one, me and Dr. Troy's worst nightmare come true.
I already said your wife or son coming in during yes. one of your science mountain retreats. Okay, what about this? Damien gets flowered for Algernon.
And then you become the science host and I have to like pick up the reins as like the comedy guy who, you know, he's just there to have pies thrown in his face and dance as a court jester.
But not only that, but like you'll see me ridicule the ridiculous and to me, the moronic things that you and Dr. Troy say. And I will be looking down my sizable nose at you. And I have to imagine that ranks somewhere up on your...
Hey, you know what, Damien? If brains were nose, you would be king of this world, so...
If I had the nose to become president, I could change the laws to make myself king.
All right, so you might be wondering at this point, okay, what is this worst nightmare you keep talking about? Now, Dr. Troy has actually mentioned this on the show. We've talked about it outside of the show as well. I've talked about it a bit on the show. One of my crazy fears in life, which I think is very justified, is a fear of prions. Real quick, there's a little bit of a discrepancy on how that word is pronounced. P-R-I-O-N, sometimes referred to as a prion.
But sometimes pronounced maze.
God damn it. But I looked it up. Prion apparently was the original version of that. However, it is sometimes pronounced now. And also, it fits with the English language because if you look at like stuff that is on that range, like lion, you wouldn't call it a Leon. You know? So like, I'm going to go ahead and stay with prion. I know some people pronounce it differently. Sometimes very educated people who know more about this stuff pronounce it differently than me. But in looking up the etymology of the word, it does seem to be that at least the original intent was that it was prion. So we'll go with that. So these prions are misfolded proteins. So they're just parts of your body. And remember, we've talked about proteins before. Basically, your body's made up of proteins. And proteins determine what they do, not only based on, you know, the genetics that form them, but by their shape. The way they fold, the shape that they fold into determines their function. So what happens with one of these prions is that shape gets tweaked. Now, there's a few different things that can cause this.
Amphetamines.
Not yet amphetamines that we know of, but wouldn't that be great? No, one is just a natural thing. We call it Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease, and it can just be a thing that you either get inherited, you have a genetic predisposition for it, or it's just sporadic, meaning it just happens randomly in your body. You know, one thing gets the wrong information or something happens while that protein is folding, it folds wrong. And you might say, well, what's the deal with one wrong folded protein? And it wouldn't be bad if it just stayed one wrong folded protein. The problem is, the way our body works is, as that protein touches the protein next to it, it causes the protein next to it to misfold. So you can imagine if that one protein is touching two proteins, it makes both of those misfold. Then each of those two proteins, maybe they're touching two more proteins, they make those two misfold, and that'll keep going through until it basically completely alters the system. In the case of our brain proteins, which this is attacking, basically what that means is it turns your brain to sponge. It's called a spongiform disease. It literally like changes the structure of the actual cells that make up your brain, the proteins that make up your brain. It changes the structure of them so they cannot perform their job in the same way, and you die. And when I say and you die, I don't mean and you can die or and you might die and it's really lethal. I mean 100% fatality rate. Not only do we not have any cure for it, we have no way to even think of curing it because these are misfolded proteins. By the time we know you have the disease, it's already way too late. Your brain is basically destroyed and there's no way to undestroy your brain. You know, if somebody has gone in with a hammer and been smashed on the hard drive, we can't fix that computer. This is why it's terrifying. If you get this disease, you are going to die from it. Unless you happen to be murdered or something beforehand, you're going to die from this disease. It's going to kill you. In some cases, really bad ways. We talked before about Kuru, which was an outbreak of a prion disease that was going on in New Guinea.
If the right person caught it. Like, let's say, like, some degenerate in the outback of Australia.
Yes.
Who's huffing crocodile and gasoline.
Uh-huh.
Could he have contracted Kuru from eating some wicked elder meat or something?
Well, he certainly could have gotten Kuru. There are some people, by the way, who do have some genetic resistance to these type of prion disease. We're not sure how far that goes, if that just works for certain types of sporadic stuff or Creutzfeldt-Jakob's or others. But the Kuru, which was one that got passed around in New Guinea around halfway through the 20th century, was being passed, so we don't know when it started, but it was passed around by the practice of eating the brains of the deceased. That was happening a lot in the New Guinea highlands. So it got passed around, and the way it worked is it would destroy parts of your brain that had you make certain regulatory function. So it was also called the laughing sickness because people would sporadically just start laughing uncontrollably for long amounts of time. They couldn't hold it back, and that was one of the first signs of severe brain damage.
Well, then me at 13 years old had severe brain damage because every time somebody would say something that sounded remotely like penis, yes, a rooster is sometimes called a cock.
Yeah, I would say the description could also apply to anybody who like has paid to see Larry the Cable Guy. You know, like you might have Kuru.
Get her done.
Now, we call it in human beings, we call any version of this a Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease. If it's acquired, meaning you got it from eating something or something else, we call it a variant or variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease. Now, it's terrifying to think that this can happen, but you might say, well, Kuru, that was halfway through the 1900s on the other side of the earth. But we also had the mad cow outbreak in the 80s and 90s, which came out of the UK. It was tainted meat that came out of the UK, and people got sick and died. And what's crazy is people will still continue to get sick and die because the dormancy of prion diseases can be anywhere as short as a few years to like 40 years, which is crazy. I mean, it's like if Damien and I both ate infected meat right now, and we both got prion disease, it might be that Damien's kills him in 8 years, and I don't see the first symptoms of mine until 40 years. It's nuts. Like, it's a very terrifying disease. Prions themselves are incredibly hardy. They're very hard to destroy. You don't destroy them when you cook your meat, which is really scary. You don't destroy them under even a lot higher temperatures. They can last an incredibly long time in the soil. We've talked about this before, that in my profession as archaeologists, we have to actually map and note cows that died along the motherfucking Oregon Trail because a bunch of them had a prion disease. They died, and now archaeologists who dig in those areas are actually in danger of catching prion disease from a 150-year-old dead cow carcass buried in the soil because the prions are that hardy.
How long can they survive? Because basically as long as like soft tissue can survive, or as long as like DNA can survive. How
well, proteins. What? So proteins can be bound up and survive in for very long times in certain circumstances. That doesn't necessarily mean that these will survive, you know, like some of the proteins we may or may not have found literally in fossils from 60 million years ago. It's probably a lot more along the lines of like a standard degeneration rate, which will depend on the heat and the humidity and the things around you and whatnot. But we do know that they can at least theoretically survive for well over a century in the soil just sitting there.
Well, that's the lesson, kids. Don't get into archaeology. Nature is doing everything it can to steer you towards a more interesting science.
If there was one.
Isn't there a prion disease going around with deer, too? We reported on that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's chronic wasting disease. So that's in the U.S. right now. That's spreading throughout the populations. I think it's actually might have spread to a few different species of deer. That's really terrifying because people are hunting those animals and eating them. And again, we might not see the effects of that for 10 years. And in the case of something like that, where it's individual hunters going after individual animals, it's much harder to kind of track that as opposed to in the U.K. thing where we let out a bunch of meat. We could go back and see, you know, who ate this, who bought this food at this store. Or this is more along the lines of it's somewhat anonymous because, you know, you're hunting, you're killing these animals and you're eating them kind of on your own. So there might be some pretty serious and hard to trace like little outbreaks that stem from that. Now, you're not going to transmit this to somebody else unless, like in the Kuru instance, somebody is eating your brain, basically. So you don't necessarily have to worry about that. But it is, like we said, 100% fatal. Could be a very, very bad way to die as your brain turns to sponge. It's terrifyingly hard to get rid of in terms of cooking or heating or doing anything like that. And could be used as a weapon very easily, because if you think about it, this stuff could sit around in, you know, a bag of rice for 10 years that you spread out through parts of Africa or something. Like, it is definitely super villain territory. So what happened that was my worst fear? What happened this week? Well, an article was published about a lab tech in France who ended up getting a prion disease. She was researching a prion disease that they had given to mice. And this was back in 2010 in France.
I simply cannot resist Le Big Mac, Le Royale with cheese. Yes, there is a lot of talk about this mad cow disease, but what are the chances of me getting it? You know what they call this in America?
What? What do they call that in America?
They call it a whopper.
Man, you really have your finger on the pulse of modern French culture, don't you? It's like you're pulling everything that French people are talking about on the streets today, just bringing it to the show.
Yes, I know. I did my internship in Paris. Would you like another escargot milkshake?
Yes, I would. So this researcher, this lab tech, which is a very low-level researcher, she's a young girl. She's like 24. This is, again, back in 2010. And as she is working with these mice who have been infected with a prion disease, she's working with parts of their brain. She ends up stabbing herself with the needle she's working with through two pairs of gloves into her skin enough to cause bleeding.
Oh no, my hands were so slippery from the freedom fries.
And she basically went, oh no, and sat around and waited. And starting around 2017, she started feeling not so great. She had some symptoms. She went to the doctor. They couldn't really find anything. And in 2018, she had them check a little bit of her cerebral spinal fluid, which is one of the ways you can tell prion infections, but it looked normal. And then just shortly thereafter, in January of 2019, she started having symptoms, basically cognitive symptoms, for everything from depression to memory impairment and hallucinations. And they did another test in March of 2019, and that cerebral spinal fluid tested positive for variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease, and the woman died in June of 2019. So she tested positive in March for the first time, died in June. Now, obviously, she had had the disease all the way back since 2010 when she got infected. It just took that long to destroy her brain and kill her. Once she started having symptoms, though, it was a very fast ride. Things went very, very quickly.
No, I had such positive plans for 2020. It was going to be my year. No.
That is terrifying, man. I swear, these prion diseases are so scary. Because imagine that. Like, even if you were somebody who was working on a very terrifying disease, let's say you were working on HIV, poke yourself with a needle. Well, they can immediately get you anti-HIV drugs. They can give you antivirals and bombard you with these drugs. And chances are you're not going to get infected anyway. But if they do these drug treatments, it's a very, very low likelihood.
I didn't even get HIV the fun way. I got it trying to cure HIV. This is bullshit.
To be fair, I was trying to cure HIV by having sex with like 50 dudes.
Me, a funnel, and 50 dudes. That's how I do my research, Bobby.
That's going to be the subtitle of your book one day.
That's a far less wholesome version of that Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place show, which Ryan Reynolds is also in this one, by the way.
Just me, 50 guys, and a funnel. The story of Ambassador Damian Mercado.
A president who would make Donald Trump look like Teddy Roosevelt.
But think about it, the HIV example, even with all that stuff, you can keep fighting and keep doing it. Even if you've got HIV, you could still live your life out nowadays with modern drugs. But also, you would know within 6 to 8 months or something whether or not you had actually gotten the virus, because they could test you and stuff. In this case, you don't know. Because she was getting tests a year before she died that were showing up negative. Like, and that was 10 years after the event itself. It's crazy to think about. It's just something that's very, very different than anything we're used to. It's not a virus. It's not a bacteria. It's not a parasite. It's your own protein folded in a bad way that fucks up the proteins around it. And it's just one of those incredibly terrifying things in our environment that you could just pick up one day. You eat the wrong hamburger, you eat the wrong elk meat, something like that. And, you know, 10 years, 50 years later, you die from it. And it's just it's a bizarre, terrifying, almost Shakespearean disease.
Oh, no, I will never have another Whopper. Curse you, McDonald's.
On to article number two. Why do some dudes duke for days?
Like, are you saying attend the Duke University for days, which is what I call going to the bathroom, by the way, to which I could say I have several honorary degrees in a number of fields.
Ruining Duke University.
Oh, yeah. The dean and I are not on good terms.
Is the dean your girlfriend?
Oh, yeah. I'm on double secret academic probation.
She keeps trying to keep you from pulling your antics at Duke.
I have to go shit in the McDonald's down the street. And they never have a Whopper when I'm done. A post-Duke Whopper.
Which I refer to as Brown University.
Man, I don't want to get into what my alma mater, Sacramento State, would be. Sac State? Oh, man.
Well, we all know you guys are constantly at war with your rivals, Ball State.
Exactly. I always thought you were going to say Davis, but no, they don't consider us a rival. They do.
Not at all. So what we're actually talking about is an interesting study that wanted to look at why men tend to spend more time in the bathroom taking a shit.
To get away from their wives, am I right, guys?
Actually, I mean, you're kind of spoiling the ending here, but kind of. This study, by the way, came out of the UK, so who knows if it applies to us because they can, I don't know, they poop on the other side of the toilet, so like maybe it's different. Who knows?
It's more polite. They say, excuse me, when it flashes into the water.
So they wanted to look at how long men and women spend in the bathroom, how long men and women go poo in the bathroom, and whether or not they have biological complicating factors that would cause that. Like, for instance, if we were talking about weightlifting records, you know, and we were to say, here is the weightlifting record for men, and here's the weightlifting record for women, it would be inappropriate for us to go, hey, women, why are you being so lazy with your weightlifting? Because look, clearly men are doing a way better job at the weightlifting, right? It would behoove you to be like, actually, there's some biological differences, including testosterone and upper body strength, natural musculature here, that very much explain this. You would expect to have a difference in men and women. That's reasonable. So the researchers wanted to see, is that what's going on here? Is there some kind of difference in anything from our bowels to anything that would cause us to have to poo more or take longer to poo?
Men typically have about 40% increased lower colon strength than women, and that's just a fact. I will out poop press any woman, with the exception of some that are in the Olympics or some with hormone imbalances.
I like the idea of a poo press because I imagine it's something that's done in CrossFit.
That or it's the world's worst panini press competitor.
Like, I'm trying to imagine how it would work. The only way I'm thinking is like, and I'm not sure how this would work physiologically, but like, if you could have a hose that went into your colon and then came all the way out, you know, like a couple feet out of your body, and then I don't know how they would get the material in there, but you have like construction cement slurry that's constantly being pumped in, and you have to use your muscles to pump it through the tube and out. And I guess you can measure volume or distance. And you, here's the thing, you got to really hope that doesn't harden inside you. Like, you got to work real hard. You don't want a big concrete tube of poo solidified in your colon.
Ultimately, this will replace competitive eating as the world's grossest sport. There's going to be like a Joey Chestnut of poop pressing.
So first of all, they looked at a few back research studies. One from 2009 looked at constipation, stool consistency, and quote unquote, the need to use fingers to evacuate, as well as a bunch of other.
No. I'm no spring chicken, but I imagine a lot of depraved things, but what the hell that was, because I don't even know.
Well, okay. So if you're smart, you don't have to get gross about it, because what most people don't realize is that little 57 that's tattooed just above your butt, if you tap that with a kitchen knife.
You see, I have used this before, if you're constipated, you know, sometimes you take a butter knife, you jam it in there, and it'll make it loose. But I mean, obviously that's a joke. You use a penis in real life. But are you saying people take a finger, insert it into themselves on the toilet in order to jar things loose? I'm not shaking anybody's hand ever again. Oh my God.
I've heard this in terms of like it happening to young toddlers and parents having to do it like to them or for them to like relieve them. I was not aware that it's as common in adults. And I also kind of feel like I don't want to stigmatize anybody with a medical condition, so please don't be offended. But like, maybe you're just not ready to poo yet. You know, like maybe at that point when you need that amount of assistance, maybe just give it 45 minutes and see what happens later.
Have some coffee. Go smoke a cigarette.
Yeah. Anyway, in studying that, it actually seemed like, at least according to that 2009 study, that women tend to have a lot more issues around abnormal bowel habits and constipation than men do. A 1992 British study had similar results. It seemed to show that women have more issues in that area than men do.
They don't got more issues. They got more subscriptions.
So the researchers were like, okay, well, let's say, and we're not sure saying this for sure, but let's say then that men don't necessarily have that biological need to do that. Why is it? And a lot of the studies looking at more of the psychological nature indicated that men felt that it was like the only place they were allowed to be alone. They could get away. Nobody would ask them questions or bother them. It was like their private time. Also, in a really weird thing, and hopefully this is just UK men. I really hope this is, doesn't apply to the US too. They found that 86% of men do, quote unquote, most of their reading while sitting on the toilet, as opposed to 27% of women. And that's startling for two reasons, because it means that, like, either A, you are spending way too much time on the toilet, or you're doing way too little reading. But either way, there's a problem.
I read mostly shampoo bottles, if that's what, I mean, you ask me what's in Put Plus, I can tell you 8 ways from Sunday.
By the way, ladies, I want you to hear this, single ladies, where are my single ladies at?
Fiance?
You'll probably want to know this. It turns out that among many of the activities that men do on the toilet is one of the most popular places for men to peruse Tinder.
Well, I mean, you got to do something when you're expelling a meat paw from the night before.
I just hope it's not the same finger they're using to knock stuff loose.
Harold, does your finger smell like shit again?
No, I swear.
Have you been swapping rot with your shit finger? Let me smell your phone. Let me smell your phone!
And by the way, did they control for meat paw consumption? Because as a British male, I eat a lot of organ meats baked into pastries and whatnot.
That's true. And it's cold, by the way. It's like cold pork inside of a pie, and everybody expects you to eat it. Like, it feels like you that scene in Indiana Jones where they expose the monkey brains, and you're like, this is not a delicacy! What is wrong with you?
Are you fucking with the Yank? Is that what's happening now?
There's a layer of congealed fat in between the cold meat and the pie crust as well, and that's considered part of the goodness.
You guys shit on me because I want to go to McDonald's for a Whopper. But God fucking forbid I don't eat your jellied pork.
So now here's my 2 cents in all this. This was basically a big way to be like, hey, dude, step it up. Get the fuck out of the bathroom. Now, a few things. One is the study's controls are not exactly like... they don't exactly make the situation 100% yes or no. The fact that women tend to get constipated more doesn't necessarily mean that on average, during a healthy bowel movement, they're going to take the same amount of time. Also, things like diet influences bowel movements, obviously, and we know that there's differences in male versus female diets in a lot of places. There are things like just the size of the individual, which relates to a size of a bowel movement, which could relate to the time it takes to do it.
How much time you spend in a pub?
Hey, I actually have another theory, which is we're just taking up deserved, earned, if you will, extra poo time to make up for our much more efficient peeing numbers, right? Like, we're like the dude who doesn't smoke, who watches the smokers get a 15-minute break every hour and a half, and he's like, well, fuck it, I'm just going to go out with a candy cigarette. Like, I want my time, too.
It pays to smoke. At the shittiest jobs I've ever had, the army, production line, whatever, it pays to smoke. Because if you don't smoke and you try to take that 10-minute break, your boss just looks at you like you're a fucking slacker. But if you're a smoker, he's like, completely understand. Hey, can I get one? Let me go on this break with you.
Well, the difference, the UK difference, according to this recent study, was that...
we call it a fag.
On every week, men spent an average of 1 hour and 35 minutes on the toilet, which is about 14 minutes a day. Women were about 55 minutes a week, which is about 8 minutes a day. So it's pretty substantial. It's almost a factor of 2 in terms of that actual difference. Again, I wonder how much of it is reading or perusing on your phone or doing Tinder, and how much are the biological differences or the cultural differences in terms of eating and whatnot. But I will say this, as a dude, I am sometimes bothered myself when other dudes take a long time taking a deuce, because I also have like this, it's the same thing I say about the people that need a finger. It's like, hey, maybe you're just not ready to poo yet. Maybe hold off on your bathroom adventure for the next 45 minutes until it's, instead of sitting on the toilet for 45 minutes waiting to poo, why don't you just wait 45 minutes to go into the bathroom?
I'm not pooping. It's really hot and I'm just airing out my balls.
While lightly masturbating.
Yeah, and lightly masked. I don't want to come. I'm just edging myself. I'm a big fan of Sting.
I don't want to come. I just want your bathroom to smell bad. Like Sting.
Oh, you did music?
That is true, though. That has always bothered me. And I do feel, by the way, that this would have been weeded out a long time ago, because I feel like the dude who takes a long time to, like, if you do have to take a long time to poo, I feel like you get eaten by a cougar. I feel like those of us who can, like, get in, poo, and move away when you're otherwise in a very vulnerable position, we kind of have that Darwinistic advantage. And it's only because nature has not allowed cougars into the bathroom of modern American males that we have allowed this trend to continue. Imagine this.
Oh, from the videos I watch, I wish there were cougars wandering into bathrooms.
Every time you go into a bathroom, there is a caged cougar in the corner, and there's a little clock on there. And after 5 minutes, one of the two locks that hold the cougar cage opens up. Now, can the cougar get out with one lock open? Yes, but it's got to try really hard. So you're in danger, but it's not necessarily going to kill you. After another 5 minutes, the second lock opens. Now that cougar has...
Lisa Ann...
Now that cougar has free reign of the bathroom, I guarantee you, dude, shitting times would go drastically down.
I'd shit in the cougar's face for placing this inconvenience upon me. I would figure out a way to fling this feces into the cougar.
Oh, dear. Anyway, very, very interesting study that was undoubtedly conducted by a very nitpicky wife.
Harold, are you in there? I'll tend to again.
No, you harpy. I'm going to come out, and we're going to get an Andy Kemp-style twister.
All right. Thank you, audience, for coming back to Science Faction 458, where you learned all about how bad prion diseases can be and why some dudes poo for days. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 459.
Your boiled meats taste better coming out than they do going in.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.